Are you ready for the startup experience of a lifetime? Three determined guys building their dreams and sharing their journey. Buckle up and grab a beer, because these guys will blow your mind. You're locked in to the Jerusalem Hub audio experience, and it all starts in three, two, one.
Hello, and welcome to the Jerusalem Hub audio experience. As you can see, we are in Mike's place, getting ready.
Yeah, Mike's place.
Okay, we're in Mike's place, getting ready for our event tonight. We're really excited. We're also sporting our Jerusalem Hub polos.
I do Superman style on that one.
I'm Shalom Makowitz, COO and co-founder of Jerusalem Hub.
Yaro Pack, CFO and co-founder.
Aaron Manlowitz. What am I again? CTO, CMO.
Yeah.
Extraordinary. Hey guys, remember to look at the lens up there too.
Oh jeez, there's so much to look at right now.
Yeah, just look at that lens. That's
more. The object of this podcast is for us to show you how we are starting our business, showing you our journey, as well as helping guide you through building your own success, building your own startup.
Hopefully you guys can take a little bit of value out of this for yourselves and start your business and make your dreams come true.
We're here to help you.
Dreams come true. All right. We have a lot of those. In any sense, let's just get on with how our week went. Basically, we had a meeting with an intern, which was really cool.
That was pretty darn cool.
Would you like to elaborate? Because you did the initial interviews.
Sure. Yeah, so we had a final with one of our candidates for a web developer intern. We all met with him, and we think that we're going to make it work out somehow. Right now, we're kind of working on the exact details, but we just took that step forward, and I think it's really cool because by talking about hiring somebody as an intern, it means like we're kind of expanding ourselves, we're building our team. It's not just about the three of us, it's more about our community, our team, and you know, just expanding.
I also thought it was kind of cool that we got to feel what it was like to be on the other side of the table.
Right. We totally grilled him down.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mr. Waller.
Yeah, we made a lot of funnies too. It was good. It was all good fun. But yeah, that was pretty cool. Also,
yeah, don't play that. you're in it.
You're playing the live feed of the live feed that we're doing.
That's questions.
Oh, that's true. Okay, he's got a good point.
Did we say where we are?
Yeah, we're in Mike's place.
You guys didn't know.
I was just
Mike's
about to
place.
Get there.
Mike's place.
Seeing as how we have a live feed,
so distracting.
We're gonna have an event here at Mike's place at about 6:45, I believe.
Just about an hour from now.
Yeah. So if you are watching this and you are unaware of the event, please come and join us.
Yep. Throwing this down.
We're really super excited. This is our second event. We got a lot planned, and we can't wait to meet whoever's either watching this live feed, or we can't wait to meet people that have signed up already that are coming because it's...
Check this out. Last event, where we went for 30 people. We had 36 come up. Now we had officially, 60 people sign up?
No, about 56.
56, 57.
Let's just say 60, even 60.
Sure, it's 60. But the point is, step forward. We're always...
Things are growing.
Always taking steps.
So, yeah, it's cool. We actually pinpointed last week. I think we said this in the last podcast where we were putting in the work to building the dream, and now we've reached that point where the success is pulling us.
Yeah.
Like, we can't stop now.
We just gotta keep rolling.
Gotta keep moving on. Either way, that's our plug-in for the event tonight. We're at Mike's place.
Be there or be your square.
On Yafo Street in the center of town in Jerusalem. Come and join us. We would love to meet you. I was not there, but you guys met with a cybersecurity company.
Oh, yeah. Vicarious.
Michael was a cool guy.
Do you want to give your take on that one?
Yeah, so I'll give a little bit about what I
give some
thought.
First impressions and stuff.
So Michael, he started this startup, this cybersecurity startup like Shalom mentioned, and he worked at a number of other cybersecurity firms. He became like from the bottom to the top. He's a real go-getter. A real entrepreneurial spirit, so it was kind of exciting just to meet him from that perspective, and also just to see how innovative his product was and to see what they're doing with Vicarious over there. What was unique about that product as opposed to other cybersecurity products?
So the unique part, which I liked about it, was that it's an AI machine learning type of system of protecting mainly not not consumer-based, but actual big companies that have to deal with huge IT company. Their whole IT department get like cut down because of the fact that they have a very tight way of discovering viruses that may or may not be in many systems that haven't been discovered yet, and they go about finding it and prioritizing what will get knocked down, and then they go about wiping it out. So it's a very interesting combination of AI, machine learning, and cybersecurity, which is something that stuck out to me, and the fact that they are one of the first or one of the really only cybersecurity companies coming out of Jerusalem, which is something that we're really aiming to get involved with.
Go ahead.
Oh, by the way, Moshe Epstein, thank you for joining us. Thank you, Saul. Thank you, Yehuda. Yeah, everyone who's watching right now, just want to give him a little bit of credit.
Oh, Benedict.
Yeah.
What exactly is the craze about cybersecurity? Like, why is that such a big deal for a lot of people?
It's a really good question. I think the most important thing is the fact that we are in a cyber age. Everyone's on their phone, everyone's on their computer, everyone's constantly building different systems, and the fact that almost everything that you, that defines you in a way, that defines your, what you, the money you have, your personality, your two dots of hoots now are like almost, everything's on the computer nowadays. So what we need is a proper way to keep it secure, that no one's gonna hack it, and like I'm sure you've heard of all these banks that been they've been hacked and money was stolen. Cybersecurity is huge for that, especially national security. Like, you don't want like Iran coming in and hacking the whole Israeli system. And who knows what could happen? Hacking the U.S. and getting hold of their weapons could be pretty bad. So cybersecurity is a huge element.
If I remember correctly, when we were talking to our Chinese friends at the VC, they were talking a little bit about how they were specifically looking for cybersecurity types of startups.
They brought it up, but they're specifically looking for something that is relevant to the China sector. Like innovative stuff. Yeah, and they brought up like, oh, what do you guys think about cybersecurity companies? And they're like, oh, we haven't met any. And then the next week, I was doing some digging and I ran into this company, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Very excited about that.
It was kind of convenient how like well timed that all was.
It's pulling us.
Yeah. You think about the spread that we have right now. Like, we already met with a VR company, we're having a meeting with an AR company, we already met cybersecurity. What else am I missing? Blockchain we hit up, and another blockchain guy, I think. Like, we're spreading all over
crypto,
the tech.
Also cryptocurrency.
Yeah, that's blockchain.
Oh, blockchain. All right.
So really, we're spreading our wings over the whole tech sector as much as we can, and that's really what we want to do. I think one of our main goals, correct me if I'm wrong, that Jerusalem Hub will be the forefront of tech in Jerusalem.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially emerging technology, because what a lot of these big companies have, don't have that we have, is that they're usually getting the bigger A-list companies that already made it, and we're really digging into the new stuff that hasn't yet been discovered or hasn't been invented.
And that's why
it's
that's why we're doing something unique.
Because we're going for the little guys.
Because we're little.
But we're getting bigger. I just want to move on to the next thing. You had a meeting with the CRM people. I know we've discussed it many times.
Right.
If we have new listeners or if people need a reminder, explain to us exactly what a CRM is and what you learned from the meeting that you had with them.
Sure. So a CRM, once again, is a customer relationship management system. The concept behind a CRM is you have all these customers, all these people that you're working with, right? And it's hard to organize everything because, you know, you have people that are emailing you left and right, you kind of forget about something, maybe you email them from wrong email, especially when you have like 3 or 4 email addresses like myself, and you're just talking to like a dozen people at a time. So the CRM system, it puts everything into one place. So therefore you have all the contact info in one spot, which is really useful, obviously, just for organizational purposes and not using track. It tracks anytime you get in contact with them. It tracks any transaction that you're involved with that specific person or company, and it lets you and attracts any any conversation you guys are having. On top of that, what's really cool about the CRM that we're using specifically, which is called HubSpot, is once a month they'll have a 30-minute session with you on the phone and literally just walk you through, like go on your screen and walk you through exactly how the system works. And there's a lot of little details that you wouldn't just be able to see.
Yeah.
So one of the coolest things, which is we were looking for a way to organize our meetings. How are we going to get people to come to meetings, commit to them, and not have to do it on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah.
We need to start automating, something we all learned about from the 4-hour work week.
Right.
And so
automation.
HubSpot helps us do that a lot. It integrates a lot of automation for the purpose of making it easier for us. And
automation
just
for optimization.
Yeah, automation. I'm not even going to say it again. Right. And so basically it also gives you the option to set up meetings, like send emails where you just have your available meeting spots set right there, and people can just type that in, and then they just show up for the meeting. You don't even need to follow up with them. It just comes right to your calendar and right to their calendar. So little things like that, and there's a lot more that I don't want to get into right now just because it's pretty extensive. But he's going to have James, who I was talking to from England, he's going to have another call with me in about 2 weeks to see how I'm doing, and also to show me other features that are always
amazing.
Available. So super cool.
By the way, anybody on the stream, is the orientation correct? I'm just curious.
Orientation?
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying if it's like sideways?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Okay, what's next?
Okay, so now we're going to move on to our section of current affairs and news. We actually have a guest for this.
We brought in a guest.
You'll come now.
Where's everyone here?
Yes.
Please, why, bring your beer.
Why don't you get us a beer?
Yeah, why don't you get us a beer?
Check
what's up
the,
with that, bro?
Oh.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome. You want to introduce
Let
yourself?
Let me try to fix this.
Hi,
Woo!
One second.
Gold star.
Yeah.
Three.
One, I think. Three. Yeah. So, I'll introduce him because I know this guy pretty well.
Woo!
This is my twin brother, Yoshua Pacht.
When we started, how about that?
Hi, nice to be here. Nice to be on the podcast with you guys.
Yeah. For some reason, your chair is a little bit higher than ours, which makes us feel inferior, but we'll
do
it.
Come closer. We usually huddle for warmth here.
So today on
just restarting this.
Okay.
That's okay. Keep going.
Yeah, keep going.
So today on current affairs, we're going to discuss something interesting. We were talking a little bit about China and how we're going to get involved in the Chinese market by showing them startups that could be useful for them and for all of Israel and all over the world. And one thing about China, which is really interesting, is they're starting these mega infrastructure projects all over the world. And so my brother's going to talk a little bit about that. He's been doing some research on that.
Before you even get into that, like, where is it that you've learned these things? Like,
that's
what's your interest in terms of, like...
I just say it's like I've been very interested recently in railroads and infrastructure, especially in Israel. I've been really looking into it on my own time. And through that, I stumbled onto this. So because this is... and what it is, it's called the One Road, One Belt Project. And it's the major Chinese project for the next 20, 30 years, maybe. Maybe even more. I'm not exactly sure. Basically, what they're trying to do... Since China is a manufacturing hub, they want to create new infrastructure to export older stuff, all the things they manufacture. So they're planning to do this two ways. One of it is through the One Road, which they're trying to recreate the old Silk Road, and they're building major infrastructure.
The old Silk Road, that's amazing.
They're trying to rebuild in Kazakhstan, in all up through that northern region.
Yeah.
They're just doing major infrastructure projects where they're building roads, railroads, all that. And they're doing another part of it is called the One Belt. What they're trying to do is to try to do it through a sea route. And this is where it's more interesting for Israel, to be honest. Because what they're thinking about doing is they want to use the Suez Canal as the main way of transporting it. But not to compete with it, but let's say as an extra, any extra that might need it, they might want to put it to Eilat. So what are they planning to do? I don't know how many of you guys have heard about this.
This is called the Chinese mega project?
This is part of the greater project.
Oh,
this is and the, where
like the Great Wall of China?
In a sense, yeah.
This is the One Belt part where they're trying to create a sea route. So as part of to handle any extra that can't go through the Suez Canal, not to compete with it, but to try to handle that extra, they're thinking about creating, I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but the Eilat Tel Aviv rail line.
Yeah.
So they're a big part of this in the sense that they want to build a new rail line. They want it to go to Ashdod, where it's going to create where they can they're expanding the port there. They're expanding the port down in Eilat, and they're trying to build it to not to compete with the Suez. They're not planning that. They're saying because only 1% of what the Suez Canal takes in every year is millions of billions of dollars.
Right.
So they want to be an extra to that. And so that's what they're doing. And in addition, what do you call it, they're also just overall, it's interesting where it goes to. And it's working on it a lot too. They're mm-hmm. planning to expand that city 150,000 people.
Right, right, now, planning, right now it's 50,000 people. They want to expand it to 150,000.
150,000.
They just built that new airport.
Right.
Airport
that's
right
part
there,
of
so.
It. They also want to expand the port. Like I said, they want to build
what
a railway.
What do you, in your opinion, what do you think building this railroad is going to do for Eilat as a place? Because I went to Eilat maybe like, I don't know, 6 months ago or so, something like that. And aside from like, you know, swimming with the dolphins, doing duty-free shopping, there's really not, shopping. There's not much to do there.
I mean, that's the
it
point.
Gets kinda, so I'm saying, like, what do you think is going to happen in terms of Eilat, in terms of building that up as a vacation district? Or, like,
it's
or
not
what
just,
else?
It's not just a vacation district. I mean, they're also trying to prove that, because by building a, they're planning as part of this to build this. All this, just so you guys understand, is years away. It's in the planning
right.
stages right now. For all I know, this may never happen. This may happen in 20, 30 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
This is a long way.
Forget about it.
Okay.
A long way.
But regardless, it's a
it's
part of it.
Just like any other project.
Right. You can bring it over.
Oh.
Oh boy.
So part of it.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Part of it specifically.
Right.
They're planning to build a high-speed rail line between
phone.
Tel Aviv and Eilat, which may take 2 to 3 hours to get from Tel Aviv to Eilat. So you understand. So it increases the tourism industry. In addition, they want to build, like I talked about earlier, the cargo line to Ashkelon, to the port there. Or is it Ashkelon? Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly. But they expand that market, the port itself, and make the port there an actual major part of the economy. And it's already a free economic zone, much like they're trying to end.
Yeah.
Very interesting is you also see that the Saudis are doing something very similar. Dubai is
and the lights are out.
Trade zones,
the lights are out.
That's a whole different subject for a whole
here we go.
Thank you very much, man.
That was awesome.
That was really sick.
Yeah.
Thank you for explaining.
Now we got the mood going.
This was Josh Pacht, twin brother of CFO and co-founder.
I'm successful in my own right. Thank you.
The smart one is everyone.
That's on the internet now.
Yes, if you're the good-looking one, we have a problem. We're never.
Either way, thank you very much.
You know they say that the Pacht brothers.
Yeah. It's not time for that right now.
They're the Jews. The Jews in the news.
You so
thank you for joining us, man.
Thanks for having me.
In any sense, let's move on to books, because we have a lot to do tonight. Unfortunately, this podcast is not going to be as long as the past podcast,
yeah.
But we have a lot going on. We wish that you could either join us here or stay tuned or whatever
stay
it
tuned.
Is.
Always something new happening.
I'm going to start. I know that I've been flaking books-wise as of late, but I finally finished my personal MBA.
Yeah.
It was full of information. I'm going to listen to it again. As far as books for the future, I'm contemplating whether or not I should start another book or go back to the books that I have already
Crushing
read.
It.
Well, okay, fine. I'm probably going to start reading Crushing It while simultaneously going back to the books that I've read so I can regain some information that I may have lost the first time I went around.
Yeah.
Like, redo the cycle.
Yeah.
You know, like I talked about the personal MBA by Josh Kaufman. That book is so jam-packed full of valuable content. I've listened to it 3 times already. And at some point, I'm going to pick that back up again. But this week, I started a book that I haven't read in years. And you guys already read already. But How to Win Friends
Good
and
book.
Influence People.
I'm going to listen to that again, by the way.
Oh, it's so useful. It's so useful.
I don't know. I kind of thought the Seven Habits is like a
that was
polar opposite of...
Really?
That.
Right, but if you combine the two, you become a superhuman.
Of course.
A super shalom human
super shalom
being.
I'm already super.
That's up for debate.
Yeah, okay, fine. It's up for debate. Okay, let's just...
No, the thing is, though, everything that he talks about in How and When Friends and Influence People, these are things that I've done, and all of us have done in the past,
right.
Possibly not being aware of it, but you've done it, and it works. It does work.
Oh no, 100% it works. I've even realized when I go back thinking about like what was in the book, I even realized in the past when someone would come over to me and they would like say something to me, I'd be like, holy crap, that's in that book. That's the book.
Or also just the value of remembering somebody's name. You don't even realize like how much
it impacts
pride,
that person.
Yeah.
Right.
As well as your
Like just walking away from the conversation, just saying like, hey, it was really nice to meet you, it was Sheldon, right? And all whenever I do that, people are always like, wait, what was your name again? Because they kind of feel like,
right.
Oh, you just gave them a gift by remembering their name and making them special and unique. So they kind of want to return.
Name remembering is an amazing thing and a great tactic, actually.
Definitely.
A lot of people say they're not good at names. That's like the common thing people say. So I was at a seminar years ago, and the way they opened up was asking, are you guys good at names? And everyone, I think most people said no. So the whole seminar wasn't based on being good at names, but the takeaway was that at the end, you'll be amazing at names. So he started off saying 50% of the way of being good at names, listen to this one. This is great stuff. The number one, the 50% of the way of being good at names is saying you are great at names.
Right.
Are you great at names?
Sure.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yes, I'm great at names.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm great at names.
And that's your 50% of the way there. Right. It's like all mental.
Yeah, that's the reality. Is that's most of things. It's like true about it. Most everything. I mean, like is that, I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's like kind of law of attraction, kind of a situation.
It is.
If you kind of say it, you already believe it. You're already beginning to live it. Like another cool thing was
that visualization.
I was listening to a lecture that Iron Mike Tyson was giving.
Yeah.
And people think he's out of his mind, but the reality is the most innovative people are out of their minds. If you go back to when he was younger and he was on the top of the boxing world, he would be like, he would always see these ridiculous things like, I'm the greatest, I'm the best, no one can beat me, I'm impregnable, I'm an Edith baby. But besides for that last part, he was trained, his trainer trained him to say that.
Right.
So that he could believe it himself. And
which is interesting, I'll expand on that. There is a study by these scientists that they looked at sports players and their success and the relation to that and visualization. Like they visualize themselves, they visualize themselves in the play, in the scene, and they think how they're going to do it. So when they actually get to that event in point in time, they're already familiar with it. And then they are successful there because they already pre-thought it out. They pre-planned it in their head. So visualization is a huge thing.
Visualization is key. I mean, I've experienced that myself in numerous areas of my life. But absolutely, that's an incredible...
Oh, yeah, we do.
We have a question?
Yeah, look on Twitter.
Twitter? Okay, we're going to move on to social media
questions.
You didn't even go to the books.
I'm reading Crushing It, and I'm still reading Naked Statistics.
Nice.
It's a good book. Everyone should listen to that one.
All right, okay, I'm on Twitter.
But yeah, quick books.
Where am I going on Twitter?
Jerusalem Hub.
Okay.
Here, give.
That's how we talk.
Yeah.
Jerusalem Hub.
I gotta make sure that we keep this thing rolling. I actually like this song a lot.
Yeah.
So, who's tweet and replies?
What do we got?
Can I see who tweeted us?
In the meantime,
why don't you just search at Jerusalem Hub?
It's good for you. Or it's good. Just drink beer, I got this.
Who's gonna find it first? Jared, why don't you speak to everyone?
Have I told you guys how much I like beer? It's like pretty much liquid.
It was from,
Yehuda?
I think it was from Yehuda.
Oh,
here we go. This is one, right? Well, that's from the 6th of February.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, look for his latest one at Tweets and Replies.
Oh, here we go. Don't tweet me.
Yeah.
I got one right here. Pikachu's anus.
There we go.
Who's that?
Okay.
Let's move this.
Pikachu's anus at Jerusalem Hub. Can I have more on Shalom's idea on what makes Jerusalem Hub unique and how it will stand out from the crowd when there are many options to choose from? That one's directly towards... asked me. Well, thank you, Pikachu Zanus.
What do you think?
Well, I think that we are young, we are vibrant, we're personable. When we make meetings with people, we actually do it, and we sit there, and we take everyone seriously, to an extent.
And we podcast.
We podcast. We're also, marketing-wise, we're taking the cake. I mean, we're all over the place. And when people tell us we're doing too much, we keep doing more.
That's good. That's a good sign that we're not doing enough.
Wait, we don't listen to people that tell us we're doing too much.
As far as, like, let me just rephrase the question, because just in case I didn't answer it. how we're unique. Yeah, that's the reason. I mean, we're doing it all. I mean, I keep saying in most of our podcasts, I keep saying what a new age entrepreneur is. A new age entrepreneur is someone who has his pockets in every idea. I mean, you have to realize that it used to be that you just pick one trade, you go for it, and you succeed and you excel. Nowadays, that's not the case. Nowadays, you have to at least know how to do everything.
And be everywhere.
Just a little bit. You got to be everywhere.
I mean, in the 4-hour work week, he talks about, not even that you need to know everything, but you need to have some idea of everything so that, let's say you're in charge, you have a company, right? You need to know how to do the development, at least some extent, so that you can look at the work. Even if you don't know how to develop, you should at least know what it looks like.
Right.
What it looks like to be a good developer.
You need to have I'm going to use this word because you guys love this word. Please. The wherewithal.
That's me.
Yeah.
The wherewithal
to optimize your...
No, again. You need to have the wherewithal to be resourceful enough and have the confidence to do anything that you dream of. I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I hope that answers your question. If it didn't, you can tweet an angry tweet at me.
Yep.
Hopefully it'll be on Jimmy Kimmel, because that'll be good marketing for us.
Yo, Jimmy, hit us up.
We're going to move on to the motivation section. We're going to close it off here, and then we're going to get back to you later. Wait, what? No, yeah, we got you. I got you. We're going to get back to you later, but we're gonna close it off here, and then we're going to do it live on our event. So whatever, I don't know how we're going to close it off. I'm already making this awkward, which I'm doing a great job at.
Which can shut it down.
I found two good quotes here. One of them is, some people dream of success while other people get up every morning and make it happen.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
That's what makes us unique over everyone else as well.
Yeah, I like that one.
And my other one is, the price of success is hard work, dedication to do the job at hand, and the determination that whether we win or lose, we have applied the best ourselves to the task at hand.
Which is cool, but that's by Vince Lombardi.
What's
cool about that one is, there's no lose here. Because whatever you're up to, you make it, you make it happen, it doesn't work out, you got the experience. You know, everyone
says,
you learn so much, but guys, the value of that is insane.
Yeah.
You can't understate that.
Yeah, 100%.
There was someone who once said, like, if you don't have questions on anything and you're not learning, then you're not, that's the point. If you don't have questions, you're not failing, then you're not learning. Yeah.
And in snowboarding, we always say, if you're not falling, you're not trying. It's the same thing.
Yeah. That's how you come out with a bruised ass.
What is it that Bruce Wayne's father tells him when he falls into the cave?
What's that?
How do we, damn it. What is it?
How to pick ourselves back up again?
Yeah.
Why do we
fall? Why do we fall? So we can pick ourselves back up. Thank you. It's the same concept. You just have to wake up. There's no such thing as I'm working my way up to. I used to say that to you all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, just do what you gotta do.
You gotta do it.
Just do it. No. You like, just do it. What do you care? It's like, no, don't worry. I get what you're saying. I wish I was at your level. I'm gonna work my way up. But the reality is you wake up and just start.
Yes. Yeah.
I think we have a video like that.
Yeah,
just
start.
Freaking do it. If you want to be a runner, run. If you want to run the marathon, start practicing right now. If not right now, wake up tomorrow morning, early in the morning, and the road is yours. No one is there.
Wake up, shut up, do.
Before we briefly say goodbye to you, since it's a special podcast and we're in Mike's place, the Holy of Holies, we want to give a good shout out, because we're going to have a challenge for you that we're going to address later, but we're going to give him a shout out and give him a chance to show his face. Reginald Cumberbatch here is the only one who has taken our challenge and has done it and has tagged us, and we've shouted out to him every time. Have a seat.
Welcome, Yehuda.
This is Yehuda. He is my brother.
Yehuda Schlakowitz.
No resemblance.
They both have similar beards, though.
Yes, we do.
Nice.
Yehuda, first of all,
use the oil.
Thank you. Yeah, he does use. Do you use oil, right?
Sure. Maybe.
Okay, hashtag me too.
Yes. Sometimes.
What?
First of all, thank you for accepting our challenge and coming and actually doing it. Yeah. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
And explain to us exactly what it's done for you, why you like doing it, and what this podcast as a whole is up for you.
Guys, pay attention, because this is your motivation to go. Hear from somebody who's been doing it, the results that he's been getting.
Someone who's taking action.
See what you can get for yourself by actually taking part in our challenges, getting involved. Yeah.
So, first of all, I want to just point out that when I found out about this podcast,
A friend of mine from high school texted me, like, out of the blue at 4 o'clock in the morning. How long has your brother and Jaren been doing a podcast? This, by the way, is a friend of Lina and Jaren's.
Mm-hmm.
It was Sean Yeager.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That name sounds familiar.
And I was like, I had no idea my brother was doing a podcast. My brother Shalom has never met my friend Shalom Yeager. So that just goes to show what kind of reach you can have if you just put yourself out there.
Yeah.
And he's
amazing.
All the way out in California. So
oh no! Start. Keep going.
That's just whatever. But yeah, so as far as the challenge is concerned, a big thing for me was listening to my brother and Jaren and Aaron talk about, like, do more. And, you know, if people complain about how much you're putting out, don't
put out more.
Yeah, put out more. Yeah. I started doing Instagram stories because of this podcast. I wanted to sort of go on Instagram and sort of document my adventure in Israel. I just came here. And I started doing Instagram stories because of this podcast. And immediately I got pushback from some people about whatever. Like, we don't want to see your face at that angle, or you're posting too often. And like my initial reaction was, oh, maybe I shouldn't post so often. I was like, you know what? If they're complaining about me putting out too much, I'm going to start putting out more. If they don't want to watch it, they don't have to watch it.
Fuck them.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great attitude, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. And another great thing is I was reading at least a book a week before I came to Israel. And I decided when I came to Israel, okay, I've had enough of the book a week thing. But then when I was listening to you guys do your podcast, and you guys were doing a book a week, I was like, you know what? I'm doing a lot of crazy things. My schedule is not exactly what I want it to be, but I'm going to try and do a book week too. And I'm actually on
awesome.
A 4-hour work week because of this podcast.
Yeah, so, awesome.
Yes, I'll drink
hashtag
to that.
Yeah. Results.
Yeah. So see, it's just as easy as that. Look at that. He's able to smile on live Facebook feed.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a tough thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to say? You want any shout-outs you want to put out there?
Oh, yeah, sure. First, I'd like to say that I started with one follower, and I had 0 followers when I first started, but I had one follower, and now occasionally I get, like, 20,
nice.
Maybe 30.
That's
yeah.
Really nice.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's... All you gotta do is put yourself out there, use hashtags, and listen to whatever these guys say about marketing.
We will talk about that later. That is gonna be one of our subjects.
Yeah,
so
we're gonna actually address that later. Thank you, Yehuda, for joining us.
Hashtag it up.
And
hashtag me too.
This is goodbye for now. I actually didn't plug in the fact that this is episode 7.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Lucky number 7.
Next week is going to be episode 8. That's 2 months of full podcasting. That's
amazing.
Crazy. In any sense, thank you for joining us. For those who did on the live Facebook feed,
yeah.
Thank you, and we will see you tonight. And
thank
if you are
Mike's.
Not here, then
thank you, Mike's
that's
place.
Too bad.
Mike's Place.
Thank you, Mike's Place, for everything.
Okay, you don't need to do that.
You can do the thing with your hand. You can just do it. Wait, should we clink? Let's
oh, yeah. I'm
clink.
Drinking Delirium, by the way, which is served at Mike's Place.
You're drinking Delirium.
Clinky, clink.
Right,
and with all that, right. We end.